Well, if we're being honest, I think many of us can identify with feelings of feeling lost, feeling hopeless, or lacking purpose in our lives. And I bet if today was the day you're going to have that conversation, but probably not on Easter with someone or with me, you could identify with one of those kinds of feelings, lost, hopeless, or lacking purpose. Now, if you are statistically somebody who is an outlier and all that and not experiencing one of those things right now on some variation, then I promise you, you know somebody who is struggling with one of those things right now. Because we know these are the things that we all struggle with, and these are the challenges we face in our daily lives. Now, there are other challenges each one of us face and we face together, but these are particularly vicious, I think, because when we are struggling with these senses of a lack of hope, a lack of purpose, and a lack of belonging, these particular things feel like there's no place to begin, because that's one of the things that they do to us, is they obscure for us where to start. There's other challenges where we know how to start and the challenges to keep going, but there's other challenges that include finishing. But these in particular are particularly devastating for us because they confuse us because we don't know where to start when we're struggling with these things. So if you're in this place right now and you've come to Easter service looking for a word of hope, I have one to share with you, not because of what I know, but because of what happened through God. And because of what God did through Jesus, there is a place for every one of us to start when we are looking for a sense of hope, a sense of purpose, and a sense of being found. And that's to start with the risen Jesus. When we start our journey, when we go to the risen Jesus, we find an opportunity to have a sense of direction and clarity and purpose for our lives that can only come from the risen Jesus. And I hope that every one of us can have an encounter with the risen Jesus today or in some day to come. Now, I want to offer that invitation for each one of us to encounter the risen Jesus in particular, because it's in the risen Jesus that we find a chance to have our lives transformed. It's in the risen Jesus that we find an opportunity to get the clarity that we need about what life's supposed to have. And we know that it's the risen Jesus who changes lives, because it was the risen Jesus who changed lives on that very first Easter morning. On the very first Easter, Jesus started to change everything for everybody because he was risen from the grave. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, like, well, don't we want to encounter the empty tomb? That would be cool. Sometimes people talk about, like, that's the greatest moment in history that they want to go back to and have a conversation with the people at the tomb that day. But check this out. You know what the empty tomb did on that day? It confused people. It left them wondering what in the world had happened. When the people hear the story, they didn't think that something amazing had happened. They thought something confusing had happened. And you know what's also true? That when we hear about the empty tomb, aren't we a little confused? Aren't we a little wondering what has happened? But when we hear about the risen Jesus, we see how everything changes. I mean, remember what the women experienced when they went back to the disciples that day and the others who were with them. They went back and told them what they had found, and they were confused. The men, because men don't listen to women carefully enough. Like, let's just be honest, right? Okay? They thought they were telling idle tales. Now, whether that's because of the report or that's because they were still in shock, I'm not sure. But the reality is they were confused. And what happened? Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And what did he find? He found an empty tomb, and he was still confused. He was amazed because of what had happened, at least to start. But really, he was still confused. Now, the good news is it didn't stay in confusion, because in that same day, there was an opportunity for people to encounter the risen Jesus. Because at least according to the Gospel of Luke, he was nowhere near the grave. Rather, he was already going about in the world. Now, in the story that follows, in the immediate aftermath of that moment in the grave, we hear about these men that are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And because they were going from that distance, they had a long way to go. And the assumption was that they were simply done with all this, that they were ready to go home and get back to their lives, that they were perhaps fearing for their lives because of what they had been up to, and they had to go back home to do what came next. And that was move on. Because again, if you think there's an empty tomb, you don't assume resurrection. You assume somebody has robbed the grave. You assume that somebody has taken the body so that they couldn't claim anything miraculous had happened. But something miraculous does happen. The risen Jesus shows up for these men walking to Emmaus, finding their way into the story. Now, according to the story that we have in the Gospel of Luke, which is a fairly reliable understanding of what happened, because there are so many things in there that don't cast the disciples in good light. There are things in there you're like, would that really have happened? And historians actually look at those things and say, those are evidence that these stories perhaps are reliable. There's other times in history, other similar texts, where people look at those things and they go, wow, that painted that person in a great light. This is a hard thing to believe. But these stories are filled with problems and character flaws and people that don't get it right, written about the people who were there. So Jesus shows up to the men on the way to Emmaus, and at first they can't see who he is. We're not sure what that means, but it is clear that they were struggling for whatever reason. And they have a conversation with him, and they ask, and Jesus, being Jesus, asks them, so what's been going on lately? And the men are completely confused, and they go, how are you the only one who doesn't know what's gone on in Jerusalem these past couple of days? Haven't you heard that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and that that had happened and everything had gone so poorly? And Jesus goes, oh, I guess I have heard something about that. I mean, you know, something like that. And they keep on walking, and he keeps on talking to them. And he reminds them that Jesus had taught them that this was what needed to happen. That he would die and that he would be raised on the third day, and they were smacked upside the head with a reminder of what God was up to. It says in the story that Jesus continues to unpack for them the entire story of God's love for God's people, starting with Moses and going all the way to that current moment. You think this sermon is long? Imagine that one, right? I mean, come on now. Now, the reality of that moment was they started to have a glimpse. They didn't know what was happening, but they were encountering the risen Jesus. And on the part of the story that we read just a moment ago, we hear that Jesus was coming to a fork in the road with them, we assume, and they beg him to stay with them. At first, he says he's going to move on and keep going along, but eventually he relents and stays with them. And at that night, they're gathered around a table because humans got to eat, so people got to eat. And what happens? Jesus takes some bread, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. Presumably, they would have had some wine as well, because wine was the most stable and best thing you could drink back then. We think about water being the healthiest thing. Wine was actually the healthiest thing back then, because it fermented and killed the bacteria. So if you're going to have Easter wine today, you're just doing the Jesus thing, okay? Just encourage you to do that, right? But the fact of the matter is that they would have had this holy moment. And if by hearing this, you are having echoes or remembrances of communion, that's exactly what we're supposed to hear. That Jesus broke bread and gave it to his followers. And it says, in that moment, they could see. They went from being unable to see to being able to see. They went from unable to know that it was Jesus to knowing it was the risen Jesus. And everything had changed for them. Why? Because they had met the risen Jesus. Now, one miracle deserves another, right? It says in the text there that he vanished from their sight. And after that, those men just sat there and they did nothing. I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention to the story or not, right? No, they didn't just sit there and do nothing, right? What did they do? They got up and they ran back, it seems like, to the other disciples and those who had gathered and told them that they had had an encounter with the risen Jesus. That everything had changed for them when they encountered the risen Jesus. That they went from not knowing what was going on with all kinds of fear, all kinds of hope gone, all kinds of purpose missing, to understanding what they were supposed to do with their lives. To go forward knowing that God had changed everything. But because there was an empty tomb, there was a risen Jesus who they could encounter. That they could encounter then, people could still encounter back then, and we still can encounter today. Because the risen Jesus is here for us all. Every one of you, God raised Jesus for you. God raised Jesus from the dead for me. God raised Jesus for all people at all times. And because of that, there's an invitation for every one of us to encounter the risen Jesus in our lives. Now, maybe you're hearing this and you're thinking to yourself, like, I've encountered the risen Jesus before. I might need to encounter the risen Jesus again. We all do. I do. Every one of us, every day. But if you're in that place and you are solid in your understanding of how Jesus changed your life, then that is something to celebrate. And I can say with quite certainty that you have an opportunity to help someone else find that certainty. That you have an opportunity to have conversations with friends and family to tell them that the risen Jesus is out there for them, just like he was there for you. But I also know that there's a lot of us who struggle with all these things. There's a lot of us who have conversations and wonderments and doubts, and those are all okay. But there's part of us that wonders if we will ever encounter the risen Jesus, because it seems so miraculous. It seems so otherworldly. And we just wonder how and where it could happen. Now, it's possible that some of us could have a miraculous experience of the risen Jesus, so I don't want to discount that as a possibility, but I will say that it is not a probability that most of us will. But what is also very true is that God had another plan in mind for all of us to meet the risen Jesus, which is to meet the risen Jesus through people, through one another. Because God is present in you. The divine is all around us. You can look around the world, and you can look in people, and you can see the beauty in creation. You can see the presence of the divine. Now, sometimes that can get confusing because we're not sure which way to understand those things, but there is one other group of people that God is absolutely using for you to experience the risen Jesus, and that's the community of Jesus followers known as the church. It is through times when we gather like this, it's through the work that we do together, it's through the experiences that people have with the risen Jesus through the church that people experience God's love and grace. That we experience with and for each other that the death does not have the final say. Indeed, the death was arrested so that life could begin. And each one of us can be the experience of the risen Christ for someone else. And so I want to encourage each one of us to seek out those experiences of the risen Christ, both to be that for each other and pray for God to show you the risen Christ to somebody else. Because when that happens, every one of us has fear go away. Every one of us finds the hope that we need in Jesus Christ. And every one of us can find purpose for our lives. That might sound like a big promise, and it is. But that's exactly what God does, and that's exactly what God continues to do through everyday, ordinary people. I want to close my message today by sharing with you a little bit of a testimony from Paul Goldschmidt. For those of you that might not know who Paul Goldschmidt is, he's a St. Louis Cardinals player. He won the 2022 NL MVP last year. And for those of you that know me a little bit, you'll know that I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm showing great grace and determination right now to lift up a Cardinals player for you. You can pray for me. But the reality is that Paul Goldschmidt had his life changed by the risen Jesus. It wasn't something that happened miraculously. Rather, it was an ordinary person that God used to change his life. So as much as I want you to hopefully hear a word about how God changed Paul's life directly, I also hope you can hear an example of how God had an encounter for the risen Jesus set up through an ordinary circumstance. Let's take a listen and a watch.
We'd go to the batting cage and, you know, I'd hit early. We'd take 50, 60 swings, work on my swing, and then we'd sit there for 20, 30 minutes and just talk about life.
He asked me a question. He goes, "What do I need to do to get better?" I said, "Well, if you give me a couple of weeks, I'll tell you." I think the shock on his face, he's thinking probably, "Man, is there that much stuff?"
Turner was very open with his faith and his beliefs and did not push it on me at all. But of course, I started asking him about the reason he lives his life a certain way and why he believes something different than I did.
I said, "First of all, you got to grow in your relationship with Christ. Second of all, you got to be a better husband. And third of all, you got to be a better player."
I think that's where my story of knowing Jesus starts.
I watched a guy who truly understands what it means to surrender his life to Christ.
I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm making mistakes all the time. The Bible talks about, and Jesus talks about, how none of us can be perfect, and that's why we need him. And that, to me, was a message of truth.
Right. God used a minor league hitting coach to have Paul encounter the risen Jesus. And through that, Turner Ward was the body of Christ to Paul. It changed everything for Paul that day and the days to come. And it still changes his life today. You can hear more of that story. Go to I Am Second and check out that testimony. But the reality is that this is just but a little example of how God actually changes our lives when we encounter the risen Jesus. When we encounter the risen Jesus, we get a sense of God's hope for us, a hope that we all need. We get a sense of God's purpose in our lives and gives us direction and clarity. And when we encounter the risen Jesus, we have a sense that God is with us and that God will be with us every day of our lives. This is the hope we have because God raised Jesus from the dead. Because there is a risen Jesus for us to encounter, our lives can be changed. Amen. Mic drop.